See, if we're going to truly reflect the character and nature of God, it must be a non-negotiable that we must treasure and cherish the written word of the Bible and also the living word, Christ.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
And I want to welcome you back to the second part of the message entitled, Let the Word of God Dwell. As our culture continues to unravel around us, we know that the answer is not to get less of God, but to get more of God. And so I pray right now that you take your Bible. Let's turn together to Colossians chapter 3, looking at verse 16, as we listen to the second part of the message entitled, Let the Word of God Dwell.
This phrase could be restated simply by saying that insist upon, allow, let Scripture and Christ be so filled within you that the centrality of my life, of your life, is now Christ and His words. That if people came to you and they came to me today and they said, hey, are you a Christ follower? That after just a brief dialogue, we hope they would see as we dialogued verbally that through this communication, that our prayer would be that they could leave that conversation, even after a few minutes of asking the question, are you a Christian? That they would see after departing that, oh, wait a minute. I see Christ and His Word as the centerpiece of their lives. Because if the Word of God, if the Word of Christ is not the supreme dweller, is not the supreme shareholder, is not the supreme owner in our hearts, something or someone else will gladly take that place. We live in such a depraved world, and we have such depraved hearts apart from the blood and the washing of Jesus Christ and Him only, that if we do not insist upon and allow and make it so that God's Word is dwelling and taking up ownership in our hearts, here's what's going to happen. Something else will take ownership of your and my hearts. Something will take ownership of your heart. Something will pounce on the opportunity. There's too much pain, there's too much heartache, there's too much of us looking for something to dull the pain and fill the void. And so if we do not drive a stake in the ground that says, look, God's Word is going to be taking over my life, and I'm going to make sure every day it takes over my life, each and every day. If we do not drive that stake in the ground, there's another stake that's going to come on the scene and get driven into our hearts, and it will take first place over God's Word. And I'll tell you what will happen is we will follow the dictates of our own heart, and if God's Word is not leading our dictates, we will drive off a cliff in a hurry spiritually. See, that's why we must be rooted and grounded in the Word of God as it dwells in us richly. Take your Bible for just a moment. Turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 1. Look what the Word of God says here in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The arrogant is what that means. The mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Did you get this? That blessed is the man, that there will be this happiness and this contentment that's not based on the circumstances, that's based on God, that's based on his law, that's based on his word. That this man here in this text, blessed is he. That he doesn't hang around with the scornful and the mockers of the great God of the Bible. He doesn't hang around the prideful people. He knows that 1 Corinthians 15:33 simply says this in one translation, bad company corrupts good habits. And I'll tell you what we learn in this life is that who we hang around with will help either improve us and make us better towards God and his glory, or they will help exacerbate and put lighter fluid on the evil desires that are in all of our hearts, and they will help stoke that fire, and they will either help drag us away or drag us to God. And this guy here in Psalms 1 knows this, that blessed is the man who doesn't hang around those fools. No, his delight is in the law of the Lord, that his delight is in God's word, that he knows he's going to write it on the tablet of his heart, and he's going to be a man that chases hard after God, and no matter what comes his way, oh, though God may slay him, yet he will trust in God. You say, how do we know? Because God's word says so. Because he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. It will bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. See, if we're going to truly reflect the character and nature of God, it must be a non-negotiable that we must treasure and cherish the written word of the Bible and also the living word, Christ. That if we're really going to reflect the character and the nature of God, you just can't do this by going, hey, God, I love you. You're great. I walked an aisle. I got wet. I signed a card. I did a flip. But whatever they asked me to do, I did it. Okay, I'm not going to reflect your character and nature. That's not going to happen. If we're really going to reflect God's character, God's nature, if people are going to look at me and look at you and say, man, you know what? I see something different in you. I see you becoming more like Christ. If this is really going to happen, the way this happens is that we decrease and God increases. The way this happens is that we fill our heart and our mind with God's written word, but we also fill our mind with Christ, the living word. Because at the end of the day, with the problems and the challenges that every human being goes through, you will not truthfully get through this life with contentment in the midst of the storm unless you're planted by that river. And the only way you're planted is by God's word, as it's driven into your heart and into your mind, into your soul, and it just takes over. It takes ownership. It's just not renting space. It's just not there for a weekend visit. No, it's there to stay. It's there to take over. It's there to consume. That your heart becomes enraptured with the word of God. It becomes living and breathing to you. And it is truly the air that you and I breathe. And we must consume God's word daily. If we don't get it, we won't survive. We become desperate for God. We become desperate for his glory. We become desperate for his holiness. We become desperate for his word. We become desperate that we be holy as he's commanded us to be holy, as he is holy. We become a desperate people that rely on the great God of the Bible, because we know this, if we're going to get through this life and do so with joy in God, we must have his word written on our heart, and we must have his son, the living word, living within us. See, if we're going to allow to let the word of God dwell in us richly, the way that this takes place is that we have the word of God be fed into us on a continual residual basis. This isn't like once a week. We don't just show up at church and go, okay, feed me for 22 minutes and that's going to cover the remaining 167 plus hours. That's not going to work. If the Word of God is going to take up residence in us, we have to continually pour the Word of God into us. Therefore, we would be rooted, as we just read in Psalms. We would be grounded. We would be stable. We will be secure. We will be steadfast. We will be immovable. Always abounding in the grace of the Lord, knowing that our labor is never in vain when it's done for God. And yet so many are professing Christ, and yet the reality is that what's being exposed is not only how shallow their roots are in God's Word, but what's being exposed is how dead the roots are that are tethered to God's Word in their lives. But it's a sham. It's not real. Christ really didn't come and take residence into the heart. It was just an external presentation. The person wasn't truly saying, man, I am cut to the heart. I know how sinful I am. I truly acknowledge my sin before the holy God of the Bible. And I know the only way that I'll have my sin atoned for, and I will therefore not reap nor bear the condemnation that I deserve, is only by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, I do not believe in Him just to receive salvation. I believe in Him because I understand how sinful I am and how much I need Him to cover my sin. And yet so many are tossed to and fro as the circumstances of life come on the scene and they reveal how difficult it is to live this earthly life. And so many who made a profession just drive right over the spiritual cliff. Not because they never heard about God. Not because they never heard about Jesus. But simply because it wasn't real in their life. That Jesus wasn't real. See, when Jesus becomes real to you, He then becomes preeminent. He then becomes the driver of your life. You're no longer your own. You've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I. It's no longer you. That should be our mantra to a watching world, that we are truly set free from the bondage of sin. We're set free from the guilt of sin. We're set free from the condemnation of sin. Not because of how great we are or how smart we think we are, but simply because of what Christ did for us on our behalf, even though we deserve death. And when that takes over a person's mind and heart, there will be a habitual, ongoing desire to be in the Word, so that the Word will then be in us.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Second Timothy enlightens us on the reality of walking this road after Christ. Second Timothy shows us the reality of, man, the pain and the struggle and the fight on this road that Christ paved for us. It says this in 2 Timothy 3. 12 through 17. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will, not might. No, it says this, that those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, period. And here's why. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. See, the people that are going out today and causing this havoc in the Christian home and the Christian church today, all across our country, they are deceived people who, yes, are going out and deceiving others. But we must remember the starting point is that when they go out to deceive, they are deceived themselves. They are literally tricked. They are duped. They are swindled themselves. As they're following their father, their true father, Satan, trying to build synagogues, churches, places of worship that are of Satan as well. But you, verse 14 says, must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing confidently from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, here it is, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, not in evil, in righteousness, in holiness. 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What a great text that shows us that we are to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. Because here's the deal. We're going to suffer persecution if we're really in. My estimate is there are millions of people in the United States of America today who say Jesus is their Lord, but He's not their Lord. They are. And the reality is that when we truly submit to Christ and His lordship in our lives, we will suffer persecution. There's no way to get around it. You go, why is it so? Well, think about it. The prince of this air, the ruler of darkness, Satan himself, the diabolical one, the diabolos, if you will, he is roaming to and fro on this earth. This is his territory. This is his domain. It's his depravity. It's his debauchery. And so we are not of this world, but we still are in it. We are aliens. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, you are an alien on this earth. I understand it. Your wife, your husband, they're probably looking at you going right now, yes, you are an alien. No, we are aliens in this life when we follow Christ at any and all cost. That people will look at us like we've lost our marbles. People will look at us like we are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But the reality is we haven't lost those things. We've just lost our sin in the blood of Jesus. That our condemnation and our guilt has been lost in His blood as He's washed us with His own blood and He's sanctified us and He's purified us and He's cleansed us from not some unrighteousness but from all unrighteousness in the blood of Jesus. But yet as the times are becoming more perilous as the days go by, men will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Therefore, we must know truth. Please understand this. Because we're living in such difficult days where truth is now made to be false, and what's false and untrue is made to be truth. And there's so much confusion, there's so much delusion, that people typically don't know what's up and what's down because they're not anchored to truth. God is truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Therefore, we can deduct from that statement that He made, and what an audacious statement it was, but what a true statement it was, and what a true statement it is, that Jesus Christ is truth. Therefore, we do not anchor ourselves, nor tether ourselves, nor fasten ourselves to the things of this life. We tether ourselves and we fasten ourselves and we anchor ourselves to the great Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, the Messiah, the sinless Lamb who was slain. That's who we stay anchored to. MacArthur said it like this, sola scriptura, that's by scripture alone, simply means that all truth necessary for our salvation and our spiritual life is taught either explicitly or implicitly in scripture, end quote. I love that. All that we need in this life to survive is right here in this book. This book is the deal. This book is it. This book will transform your life. This book will transform your heart. This book will transform your home. This book will transform your marriage. This book will transform your children. This book will transform your workplace. This book will transform your church. Jesus is the great transformer, and his written word is he is the Logos, is the transforming agent that does the transformation. Therefore, we can rely on the Bible, but just not rely on it. We can depend on it. We can die for it. Matter of fact, we must die to self that we might live. And once we die to self that we might live, and we start pouring in the glorious truths of God's word and insisting that it dwells in us richly, not once a week or twice a week, but every day of the year, that it's poured into us, not for legalistic purposes, but for renewing purposes. Oh, but for sanctification purposes. That the word of God just washes over us today and tomorrow and the next day and forevermore. That as it washes over us, it just cleanses us. It does a great work as the change agent, as the greatest detergent that was ever created. Oh, scripture cleanses and washes and takes someone who had sin that was so scarlet red, and it washes them as white as snow. And even adding to that thought process, the Westminster Confession gives us great encouragement as it says this: the whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for his own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life is either expressly set down in Scripture or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelation of the Spirit or traditions of men, period, end quotes. See, in other words, Scripture as it is currently is enough.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.